What is it that sentient beings need to be able to attain liberation, enlightenment? What will they rely on? What practices can they use? The first that they can rely on, the first is the guidance, blessings and pith instructions, empowerments of the Guru. And then the second is that we, through the guidance and the pith instructions and empowerments of the Guru, that we, through our own original primordial purity and awareness, our own primordial nature, liberate this lost mind of ours. To be liberated from the suffering of samsara, of sentient beings, we must rely on our own primordial true nature of mind. Rigpa. Rely on our true nature of mind to attain liberation, to be able to attain enlightenment. It is only through relying on our true nature of mind, relying on Dhammakaya, will the spirit, will the mind of sentient beings be able to disappear into the great Dhamma Dhatu. And apart from this, there is no direct way to attain Buddhahood. These are the special, auspicious methods of the great perfection. I've already mentioned to you, our true nature of mind doesn't have any eyes. If it is our conceptual mind, then we have what is so-called eyes. And with just this pith instruction, one can thoroughly, completely understand the difference between conceptual mind and the true nature of mind. In meditative concentration, you will immediately understand. And there are many of these very special pith instructions that I can transmit to you. These, of course, we won't transmit openly. Really, attaining Buddhahood is not something so far away and so difficult. Because this great perfection lineage and these great perfection pith instructions have some very incredible pith instructions. For instance, there might be some Dharma that would take us 30 years to realize. However, through some very special pith instructions, it might take us only 3 years to achieve the same realization. And this is due to these cutting through pith instructions and the essence of these instructions. These pith instructions of the lineage are very special. And why? Because they specifically face, cut through these very difficult attachments and aversions and discriminations of sentient beings in this degenerate age. These are very direct methods. That's why they don't work in an indirect way. For instance, the other methods that we use to transform, like patience, forbearance, compassion, generosity, renunciation, the defects of samsara. Of course, these practices are very, very important. However, over and above this, there are these very direct, very profound pointing at the mind pith instructions. And if we want to attain Buddhahood, then it's very good that we find these most profound, auspicious, and direct methods. And through this, we can be successful in our practice in a very short time, within a few decades. To really open up this very ignorant mind of ours is not as difficult as we think. However, it does really need a very good, strong foundation. And for somebody who's negative karma is quite pure, that is not so interested or attached in material concerns, and is not paying so much attachment or importance on all of these appearances. And people that have a little bit of renunciation to these worldly concerns, and that are humble and full of respect towards their Vajra Guru. Those people whose foundation has ripened, if they practice the great perfection very quickly, they can attain liberation and enlightenment. And for those people with very heavy negative karma, there are also great perfection methods for them. For those people with really serious negative karma, there are these very profound methods. Have we not taught, pointing the staff at the old man's heart? There was this old man, he was around 70 years old. He looked after the house and he had many children. And then he met Padmasambhava. However, he didn't know about practice and how to request for practice. He just lived a normal life. And in the Tibetan areas, there aren't many vegetables. So he really generated a lot of negative karma. And then he met Padmasambhava. And then after serving Padmasambhava, and eventually Padmasambhava was going to leave, and he had sufficient money to make a golden mandala from the money from his home, and he offered this to Padmasambhava. And he said, Guru Rinpoche, I'm so fortunate to have met you, and I'm very happy to have met you. And in reality, to be able to do this, he has a lot of merit. And he said, I'm an old man who has many children and many things to do at home. And only now, at this age, he has met Padmasambhava. And he requested of Padmasambhava, will you please teach me some dharma through which I can attain enlightenment in this very lifetime? And actually, this old man is really quite incredible. What is the first thing that he requests? The high dharma. And who does he meet? The treasure terma, great master, Guru Rinpoche. And before this, he really didn't have any foundation of practice. And now, only now, he was meeting Padmasambhava. And Padmasambhava took his staff and pointed it at the heart of the old man. And what did Padmasambhava say to him? Don't be too attached to your family members. Don't be too concerned about all of these worldly concerns. Observe your mind every day. And the old man said, I understand. Really, so simple. And then after that, the old man practiced and attained enlightenment in the very same lifetime. That is why it's called pointing the staff at the old man's heart. Why is it that pointing the staff at the old man's heart is so great? Why is it that the old man's merit was so great? Because his belief was perfect. He had unmoving belief in Padmasambhava. He still carried on normal daily life. He needed to exist. However, never for a moment did he forget what Padmasambhava had to say. Always remembering what Padmasambhava said every day he practiced. And eventually he attained enlightenment. Now that we have received these pith instructions, all we have to do is practice. The less people practice, the greater their discriminatory thoughts. And if we really practice, there's no more discriminatory thoughts. As long as we don't practice, there will be these discriminatory thoughts. And then we float around, being more and more lost. We think, I understand everything. However, we have no foundation, no baseline of practice. The more we practice, the more we discriminate, the more lost we feel, the more we float around. This person says like this, that person says like this, the master says like this. Then everything is wrong. And then eventually they doubt everybody. And then eventually they might even doubt some of the Dharma, the wisdom or the philosophy of the Dharma. I've been practicing for so many years and I haven't really realized anything. And other people haven't practiced half the amount and they have realizations. They have merit. Why? I tell you directly, you have practiced incorrectly. And so within the guidance, the practice of the great perfection in Maha Mudra, the Bhatra Guru will teach, will guide, will give the pith instructions, and you must know how to practice. Be clear about this. We don't have to do the work of the Bhatra Guru. And the Bhatra Guru doesn't have to observe what you're doing. You do what you have to do. The Bhatra Guru has taught you the Dharma, the pith instructions. Now you go and practice them. And if we do this, then everything becomes perfected. If our practice methods are incorrect, we might practice our whole life and not achieve anything. We might ask, well, all of my study and all of the virtuous actions I have engaged in, is this not of any merit? in terms of the relative truth, it does. It will enable us to attain a precious human life. Human fortune. Still with birth, old age, sickness, and death. However, in the process of birth, old age, sickness, and death, we will have experiences of joy and cherishing. Happy, being able to eat and to enjoy ourselves. Being able to earn money and being able to spend the money. And having these fortunes as a human. And at the same time, living a life in a confused way and dying in this confused way. It looks to be very good. However, we're just still a sentient being. Right now, we have some merit. However, when this is used up, maybe we descend down to the animal realm or the hell realm. And so reality is that having a human life is not so great. Of course, this is much better than the three lower realms. So we can't say it's got no merit. It does have merit. It has the merit of having a human life. When is it that I will have a supramundane merit? How can I start to accumulate this? How can I experience this? How do I practice this? And how do I continue this practice? I want to transcend this merit of a human life. I want to attain Buddhahood. If this is what you want to achieve, then you must start practicing from the foundation of great perfection. The preliminary path to the trekcho, to the togo instructions. Practice according to the step-by-step procedures and continue practicing in this way. Receiving the blessing and the empowerments of the Vajraguru and continue practicing. Then through the foundation of meditation, you can obtain pith instructions. And through practicing these pith instructions every day, you can achieve this state of realization. And if we can have finished requesting our pith instructions and realized Rigpa, the true nature of mind, and then to abide in Rigpa, do you know how vast the merit is of this? Abiding in Rigpa for just a moment is greater than the merit of personally meeting 3,000 Buddhas. Why is this? Because the merit of Rigpa is supramundane merit. And even this doesn't describe the merit. We just use an example so that we can try and understand it. This supramundane realization, we can gradually start to experience and realize through practicing these pith instructions. In the process of our practice, we must know how to practice. In so doing, we won't become lost. And then we can receive these blessings, these empowerments, these siddhas. And then all the merits will come naturally, just like some people who know how to make money. The more money they make, the more easily they are able to make more money. And as a result, their desires become greater and greater, and then they're not able to sleep anymore. And because they are making more and more money, their desire just naturally increases. Similarly, when we start to experience and realize the merits of the supramundane realizations, and as these merits and realizations increase, you'll know, and they will just start to naturally increase. Day after day, we won't be able to stop these experiences. And then really, not even a minute or an hour will you waste, because you've now become just like that person that is earning money and their desires are increasing. And because of this, they are continuously conscientious, diligent in earning money. The same will be our supramundane experience. We'll be just like the Garuda. As it is born, it directly flies up into the sky. And the more it flies, the higher and higher it becomes. Our practice, we will naturally improve and improve. And then all of these merits will manifest. And then never again will we be all lost and confused or feel that we're not able to improve our practices. And then every moment, each moment, we won't be influenced by even these arising thoughts. And if this is the case, then your practice has been established on the most healthy state of practice. And we keep on developing, growing in this way. And this being the central point, be conscientious, diligent in your practice. Continue practicing, practice purely. Apply yourself in your practice. And if we do in this very short life of ours, we will have established a very good result. And this is where we teach to for today.
Hong Shi Xiang Yong Shen Fa Le Yan Man Di Da Gong De Wei Yan Su De Jing Gang Chi Shen Shen Shi Shi Pe Li Hong Shi Xiang Yong Shen Fa Le Yan Man Di Da Gong De Wei Yan Su De Jing Gang Chi Shen Shen Shi Shi Pe Li Hong Shi Xiang Yong Shen Fa Le Yan Man Di Da Gong De Wei Yan Su De Jing Gang Chi.